Oh, you want me to be louder? Is that better?
That's
okay. My name is Kathy Lord, and I'm from Cambridge in America, and I haven't seen my name on too many emails, but I'm delighted that you're here tonight, and so pleased, and like to thank the Core Club and Rachel Ryder here at the club for being such generous hosts and letting us use this wonderful facility. It's been said that a social entrepreneur is a combination of Richard Branson and Mother Teresa. I think it's actually Ann Cotton. She's a remarkable woman, and you'll get to know her a little bit. And if you didn't get a chance to talk to her before this filming, I hope you will try to afterwards. And that's my way of telling you that after the film and after we have some questions and answers, there'll be a chance to have another drink, and we'll have food. We'll even feed you a little bit, so do stick around. And Anne will introduce her colleagues. But as I said, she is a social entrepreneur in every way. She saw something that needed to be done, and I think she uses the principles of entrepreneurship and also great passion and caring to do something about it. Most recently, the University of Cambridge very proudly gave her an honorary degree in 2007. And so we're honored to have her amongst our alumni. She was also given an OBE, an Order of the British Empire, in 2006 by the Queen. She won the United Kingdom Social Entrepreneur Year of the Award. She also won the Jeffrey School Foundation Social Entrepreneur Award. But I think better than listening to me tell you the long list of awards that she's won and the wonderful things she does, I'd really like to introduce you to Ann Cotton and hope you'll welcome her and join us in celebrating the 800th anniversary of the University of Cambridge with CAMFED. So, Ann.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Kathy, and thank you for bringing everyone here together this evening. It's what a marvelous place, what a marvelous evening, and what a wonderful celebration of a partnership between an extraordinary institution, 800 years of change, and looking forward, really with great optimism now to Africa with us for the generation that needs support to be able to just get on the first rung of the education ladder. And as you were very kindly spoke of the awards, but when I got the honorary degree from Cambridge, which was the most extraordinary experience for me, I was reminded that many of you will have stood at in the Senate House, and there I was in front of the Duke of Edinburgh and Alison Richard, and I don't speak Latin or read Latin or understand Latin, and a wonderful orator, Dr. Bowen, was reading the oration, and as he was speaking, the words that I heard and I understood were the names of girls that I have known for so many years, the names of the girls who started the program, the first 32. We were raising money in Cambridge. We had a stall on Cambridge Market. We did as usual, and that's how it started. And he would suddenly say Sifalani and Angeline and Lucia and Primrose as part of this oration. I felt this was the most magical moment, that here in this the center of this extraordinary institution, that these young girls from Zimbabwe were being honored in this way. It was a tremendous moment for me, and very emblematic, I think, of the change that we see through education. So tonight we're together to celebrate this fact that Cambridge University is 800 years old and has chosen us. We are so thrilled and very honoured, and it means a lot to us, but it means so much as well to the young women that we work with and the girls we work with in Africa, that such a prestigious institution has chosen them. And I was in Zambia recently. In fact, I was there the very day that President Obama was inaugurated. And I was in a town, a small town called Ompika, and I was with a group of girls who had gone through the program and are now young women on the next phase of their lives as change makers. And they were so deeply moved by the speech he made, and they were in tears, as was I. And I realized it was a moment of such affirmation for them. And who could have imagined that this historic moment had arrived, you know, so relatively soon after Dr. Martin Luther King made his extraordinary speech. I hope that he truly could imagine that moment and perhaps understood that it would come this soon. So change is indeed possible. And there is a great change that needs to take place in Africa. And that change will come about if the women of Africa get an education, if the girls of Africa get an education, because that's when we see this extraordinary multiplication of benefits through health, through child nutrition. We see child mortality rates fall. We see a lowering of HIV/AIDS rates. We see the protection of the environment. So many of our problems, so many of the problems of poverty actually can be addressed by the intervention of girls' education. And some of the leading thinkers of today, people like Larry Summers, Jean Sperling, both now in the Obama administration, of course, recognize this. Larry Summers, when he was back at the World Bank as the chief economist, and realized the profundity of this intervention and have argued for it. And yet, there is a great deal to do. And Camford is working to change this, working on this issue, working in Zimbabwe and Zambia and Ghana and Tanzania and now Malawi, and growing programs in some of the most hard-to-reach places and creating educational opportunities for girls who otherwise wouldn't be able to get their foot on the ladder and progress in life. And what an extraordinary loss for them, and what an extraordinary loss for their societies and the rest of the world. And while I was there at the inauguration speech, watching it on television in Pika, one of the girls I was with is called Gift Namuchibma. And she's an extraordinary young woman. She's really had a great deal of suffering in her life, and yet she is a woman, a young woman of great optimism, and she has built a house. She's just in her mid-20s, and last year, Caroline Daniel, who was a former White House correspondent for the Financial Times and is now assistant editor of the Financial Times, went out to Zambia to see our work and wrote a very extensive article which featured a front page of the magazine on September the 28th last year. And this was what she wrote about Gift. Gift Namuchibma has transformed the life of her family. She also offers a symbol for her community. On one of her first nights in the house, she invited her childhood neighbor to see it. The woman had five daughters, all of whom became prostitutes, plying the local truck route. Namuchibma recalls an episode from her childhood when the mother taunted her with chickens, paid for with her daughter's earnings, even as Namuchibma starved. None of the five daughters went to school. Instead, they teased her, asking, "Have you ever tasted a man before?" When she said no, they would say, "You are behind the times." Three of them have since died of AIDS. I invited her to my house and made her enter it. I wanted her to learn something. She was amazed. She knew my poverty as a child, and when I had been starving, I said to her, "Look what education has done for my family." And she has felt the power of education in her life, as we all have here. And that, I think, statement that she makes about her family is very, very typical. Because when we talk to girls and we ask them about their aspirations, they always talk about the impact that their education will have on the lives of others. They always talk about their families, about their communities. They don't say, "I want to be a doctor." Simple, leave it at that. Wonderfully aspirational. They say, "I want to be a doctor because I want to see change in my community. I want to help my community. I want to help my community's health improve." Or they say, "I want to be a businesswoman because I have, you know, five brothers and sisters. I want to see them all through school." They're always thinking of others. And that too is the power of education in women's lives, because all the research shows that women spend 90% of their income on their families. For men, I'm afraid it's quite low. It's between 30 and 40%. So here you have it. Put the money in women's hands and they will make a difference in their families' lives. And we conducted a major baseline study last year, and we found that of the young women in our program, 51% were the breadwinners, the single breadwinners of the extended family. And of those, in Zambia, 91% of them were actually controlling the money they earned, and in Tanzania it was 89%. So here you can see that crucially they were important breadwinners. They controlled the money, and then when you think 90% of the money that they controlled was actually going to benefit the broader family, you can see at a very practical level how the investment in girls' education pays these extraordinary dividends. And so for us, how to bring this issue to the attention of the world? Well, film offers obviously a hugely important opportunity. And we had done a series of films, of vignettes of young women, the girls we were working with. And of course, in the West, we tend to see films about Africa always refracted through the lens of a story. And we weren't satisfied with that idea. We wanted an authenticity and a depth. We wanted to be true to the philosophy of Camford, which is about the voice of the young women and the girls we serve actually coming through, and coming through in a way in which they controlled the message, they controlled the story. And the only way to do this is actually to train them in storytelling and filmmaking. So we went to the poorest part of Zambia. Of course, Zambia is already a very poor country. 86% of the population is living below the poverty line. The age of death is the average age is 39 years and falling. And in that country of poverty, as Zambia is one of the poorest places, an area dependent on fish, and the fish stocks are depleting, actually partly because of the mosquito nets that have been provided, which are now being used as fishing nets, and of course are catching even the tiniest minnows. And so this is a community under threat and always living in a state of insecurity. And so here we went, and I won't preempt the film, but the logistics were really quite extraordinarily challenging, but the whole team really rose to the occasion. But more than anything, the women, the 23 women that we trained, rose to the occasion in the most extraordinary way. And I think it's important that we see people living in poverty not as part of an amorphous mass, not as part of the international statistics, but as individuals with a uniqueness in their lives that every single human being has, and so that we can connect with them on an individual level. And of course, that's what film allows us to do. And at the heart of the film is a young woman, Penelope. She's the protagonist, whose story they choose to tell. And I think what you will see in the film is a level of emotional intelligence and a level of compassion and understanding that grows through the film. And it grows through the film because of the filmmaking process itself, in which she is able to reflect back on her life through watching the film unfold, and you will see the power of the filmmaking process in her life. And I really want to pay tribute to people who made this film possible, to Abibata Mahama and Dominic Chadwick, the participatory filmmakers. The Chadwick family, of course, is famous in Cambridge, and Dominic is indeed the daughter-in-law of the former Vice-Chancellor. And to also David Eberts, who was the director, who was at the time the son of the former chair of Camford. Of course, the chair of Camford is now our very own Anne Lonsdale, who many of you know, and is former Pro Vice Chancellor of Cambridge University, and also the former president of Newhall College. And also to my own daughter, Hannah, who's here this evening. She was the co-director and producer. And as a team, they created an atmosphere of respect and trust that you will feel coming through, I knew in the film, because that was what enabled the stories to unfold. Deeply contentious issues, which the film mediated, the power of film to mediate among us, very, very sensitive issues, issues that get buried in society, were coming through to the fore. And certainly the emotional cradle that was created by that team for Penelope herself, but also for all the women who were told repeatedly, you are more important than the film. And if at any moment you want this film to stop, if you want this project to end, then we will honour that decision. If they were more important to us than the film itself, but happily, they were very engaged with the process and they saw it through. So it's a wonderful moment. It's a time, of course, of great insecurity in the world, of great insecurity in our own economies in the West. But you know, when you're in a community like Zambia, you see that when the standard of living just falls just slightly, it actually tips people over the edge into the very insecurity of unsurvival. And the crucial choices that they have to make, the decisions they have to make, are between food and education, or health and food, or health and education. They are not the kinds of changes that we have to make in our lives if our standard of living begins to fall. They are life and death decisions. And so here I hope you will see that insecurity, but also that incredible optimism and hope that shines through. Now, at the end, we will have the opportunity for questions and answers. Very much hope that you will give us your comments and ideas, and I'll be able to introduce you to the people in the audience who are part of the CAMFID organisation that we're delighted to have here this evening. But I'd also like to pay tribute to the man who narrates the film, Morgan Freeman, who gave us his time freely and generously, and whose mellifluous voice just adds so much to the film. So we are very proud to present it here tonight, and we present it as a tribute to Cambridge University as part of the celebration of its extraordinary 800 years, and as a tribute to the women of Zambia and to all those women and girls who I'm sure will benefit as a result of this evening. Thank you so much. Hiding here. There's no hiding. Paul, would you like to introduce
us? Yes, I'm on the board of directors of CAMFID USA Foundation. I was at Sydney Sussex College. I did a master's degree in development economics, and then went on for a PhD and got only partway through that, and I became very distracted with a business idea. I frankly was distracted with the idea of making money. And I quit the PhD, started an internet company, and moved back to North America. And then in my successful years with the business, myself and my partner, we looked for some ways of giving back, and kind of, I was thinking, getting back into development work, changing, transforming these online ads that we were serving into something more productive. Finally sold the business, and then saw an opportunity to get a little bit more directly engaged, so have volunteered and joined the board. Now heading off to Tanzania with Brooke, with Brooke going to be looking at ways of using information and communication technologies more effectively to bring the stories from the field to other partners and donors, people who would like to get more involved with CAMFID. and also using information technology to help with reporting and monitoring the work of CAMFID. That's my short story.
Thank you very much. I'm Brooke Hutchinson. I'm the director for CAMFID USA, and I was at Churchill College. We've got a whole full complement of Cambridge people, doing my master's in biological anthropology. And so it was very much kind of on the health side of things, working in the Gambia and in Kenya, working on looking at child growth stunting. And one of the things that struck me really in my research was the educational levels of mothers and how that impacted on the children's health. And it was something that I could see so clearly, and it's something you kind of hear time and again. And as Zan said, as economists have started to talk about, it's gotten more and more mileage and more recognition. And so when I, at the same time, kind of, you know, decided I wasn't going to do my PhD either. I found CAMFID, luckily, through a partnership that we have with the university that funds internships with students, which is a way that we've gotten a great deal of our staff. And so started working closely with Anne in the UK office in 2004, and then came out to the US in 2006 to start our US office, which is based in San Francisco. And so have really seen the base for CAMFID and the support for CAMFID grow in the US since then, and are just excited about getting things like the film out there to really introduce more people to our work.
I just want to say something about Brooke. When I remember when one of my colleagues interviewed Brooke for the internship, and she came to me and she said, she's fantastic. She said, you know, she's a real high flyer. She won't stay. And I said, what do you mean? She's like, why would she stay? So she stayed. We were absolutely delighted. I remember working with Brooke one night, about 10:30 at night, she was an intern. I said, Brooke, you have to go home, you're an intern. No, I'm not going home. She didn't trust me to get the technology right, actually. But she stayed and we got that grant.
Well, I'm Helen Cotton, and as you saw, I produced and co-directed this film, and it was such a great honor to work on this project. And sadly, I don't have a degree from Cambridge University, but I did grow up there, so I feel that I'm okay here. And I was actually just over in Zambia filming another initiative that CAMFID has just launched to train young women, school leavers, in business and social entrepreneurship. And the thing that excited them the very most was actually to receive their Cambridge University certificates at their graduation. So anyway, so they'll be thrilled that they have, you know, some of the people here actually were involved in that course, and so I know that they would have been thrilled to have had this opportunity for you guys to see this film. And obviously I'm very honored that to have shown it to you, and I very much hope you enjoyed it. And it really was such a great honor really to work with this very remarkable group of young women. And I think you can really see just the very real challenges that they are going through in their lives, and really how courageous Penelope was in telling her story. I think in that context, more than our context, even though she would have been very courageous in this context, she was even more courageous in that context, where really the issue of HIV, the issue of prostitution, isn't spoken about. But we have had very good news about the success of their screenings in Zambia, and actually the outreach work that they've been doing, and other organizations working on this very specific issue. They've seen a rise in people going to be tested for HIV at the local VCT clinic by 60%. So young people are now really going, and I think that's really a testament to the power of film. So that was just one thing that I was very thrilled to hear, that their outreach was actually really producing social change on the ground, and that's really, I think, what CAMFID is all about. And so,
thank you. Over to you. I hope you're going to speak up.
I'm holding her very tightly to it.
On the follow-up, it was indicated that the next subject of the film would be child marriage. And I'm wondering to perhaps give us a little bit of insight as to either that choice or how one thinks of this program in film and so on, and where it might lead, and how that progression is around it.
Well, in this community, child marriage is common, and I think it's understanding that people's lack of choice, about which I spoke earlier, that you know, if you have a grandmother, she may have lost all her children. She has the responsibility for all her grandchildren, and she is looking for a way to help them to survive. And actually, marriage to an older man is a way to secure, in effect, as the grandmother sees it, her future. So it's very much bound up in poverty. And you know, there are many people in the community working to address this, including the headmaster you see here, Mr. Sharma. So the young women made this choice. They said, this is something that we really need to address. And so they went out into the swamp area, which is even more remote than you see here. You can only get there in dugout canoes. And they went out with their cameras to start interviewing and speaking to people in the community. Of course, they speak the local language. They're respected. They work with the chiefs. And so that now is their priority. And we see the power of this film, not only in Sanfia, but beyond. You know, we've had this film screened on national television with talk shows, and so it has a relevance for other communities. So again, that subject of child marriage and the film that they are going to complete will again be shown and be part of the social change that we will then begin to measure. Mm-hmm.
The 23 women that we talked about here, is that the group that's continuing, or you try to train other groups to also make films? How do you keep the fire burning, as you said in the film?
Exactly. Well, in fact, this wasn't the first group either that we had trained. The first was in Ghana in 2003, working with Abibada and Dominique, the two trainers that you saw. And that group did the same thing, came together, was trained in filmmaking, and have made a number of films and have also really blossomed in their advocacy and outreach. So they have a regular talk show where people can call in and talk about the kinds of issues that they're addressing in their films. And so when we saw the opportunity in Zambia, it was really to capture the transformation in the women themselves beyond what they were putting on film, you know, actually capturing what was happening to them as they learned the art of filmmaking. And so in terms of the sustained impact of the project, as Anne said, you know, they're continuing to make films, the Sanfia Women Filmmakers. Recently, the director, along with Helen, were out in Sanfia, and he was teaching them in editing so they can have kind of more ownership and involvement in the filmmaking process. So they're continuing to make films. They're also finding it a source of income. They've been hired to film weddings. They were hired to film a promotional video for a local guest house that's being built. So they're finding income generation opportunities as well. And I think that the transformation that you see in the women goes beyond the actual kind of tool and skills that they learned around filmmaking. Because as you saw, Agnes, for example, the woman who came out of the fishing, one of the women that came out of the fishing camp and had dropped out of school very early, she's actually gone back and now into literacy classes. She talked about her child being out of school. She's back in school as well. Other young women have gone on to higher education. So Abigail was accepted into business school and is now studying business school. So that confidence and also the network that they've grown with the other women has really extended into other parts of their lives, and that's where we've seen in this project, I think, the sustainability of CAMFID's work. But as Anne said, beyond that, you know, what education brings in terms of confidence, skills, knowledge, you know, across the thousands of women that CAMFID supported through school. So I think it's really an extension of what our bigger programs are about.
And one of our next film programs is actually to work with Ross Kaufman, who's a New York filmmaker, and he made Born into Brothels, for which, in fact, he got an Academy Award, Best Documentary. And we are going to be working with him in Tanzania on a film which is about the trafficking of girls as domestic workers, a problem that we see in many, many countries of the world, including, of course, our own countries. It's about working with filmmakers who are very respectful, are very inclusive, and enabling people to tell the stories, but also to get the word out. And Paul, you might want to talk about your work with us in technology and how...
Well, we Brooke and team have put together a handful of grant applications right now that if successful, or if we can find other sources for the funding, will enable us to use information and communication technologies more effectively. Of course, you may be aware that mobile phone usage is often very high, very widely used. Mobile phones are often very widely used in developing countries, which have in some ways sort of leapfrogged the developed world in their adoption. And we've had what's the name of the study that was done where we used the
baseline study.
The baseline study, yes, yeah. So with this baseline study, women, CAMA members in particular, or alumni of the scholarship program, were trained to use handheld devices to collect information on the impact of CAMFED's work. Comparing communities where CAMFED has worked against communities where CAMFED has not yet worked, and the results of that study are coming out now. But the specifically the impact of training these young women to use information communication technologies is we just see tremendous opportunity for that in the future, possibly as using these skills for other income generation opportunities for the women, and of course as well for bringing stories from the countries where CAMFED is working back here for us. Bringing it back to me, why I got involved was because I heard the stories. CAMFED has a YouTube channel, and there you can see short films told in first-person narratives about young women or girls who have been impacted by CAMFED's work as scholarship beneficiaries, typically. And seeing these young women, hearing their stories in their own voices, was really what got me involved, because the statistics aren't really enough, I think, to touch most people's hearts. But when you meet the person, even in that, even just through film, I've personally felt very moved to do something. So we're very hopeful that we can expand the use of communication technologies to help tell the stories.
And I just want to add something to that, because I just want to give you a quick update on Penelope, the main character in the film. And I know that I mentioned that I was just over in Zambia filming another of CAMFED's projects. And part of that course was actually in information technology. And I never knew that information technology could be quite so fun. But actually, Penelope is now an IT trainer in her community. She's being trained by a group called Activate from the Cambridge, UK. And you know more than me, but anyway, so she's actually now in Zambia. They have a resource center that's been set up by CAMFED for the CAMFED alum, for the girls that have been through the education system to be able to now access the internet for the very first time. And Penelope and three other young women from the CAMA alumni are actually leading that, and now are the IT trainers in their community. So she's really extending her usage of technology, I think, and it's just amazing, really, that she's come such a long way and is now really empowered in that, and I think she's really feeling the benefits herself.
I have two questions. Firstly, are you working in Rwanda at all? And if not, is there scope to take either the women from Tanzania or the women from Zambia there? And then second, how do they get around the electric limit? The issues of electricity. I mean, maybe when you guys come in and you can help and bring generators and so on, but presumably to leave them with sustainable benefits, there has to be a way around that.
Yes, indeed. Well, in terms of certainly we have now what is a Pan-African alumni across so far four countries. There are 11,921 young women or graduates from the program. This is a remarkable powerhouse, really, of women. And we have worked beyond the countries, in which we have programs. So, for example, they have gone to Kenya, they've gone to Uganda, and really are very inspirational to young women in very similar situations. And so, certainly we see that beyond our programmatic countries, we can, you know, work with other organisations, in other countries. So that we're very open to that. Our next programme, in fact, is now starting in Malawi, where we have just signed the memorandum of understanding with the Ministry of Education. So we are very interested in partnerships. And electricity. Now there is electricity in Zambia. I mean, it's erratic. It's an erratic supply, so we have to be very careful that we actually, you know, when the electricity was on, we got the cameras. but electrification is coming, though slowly. But it is a continuing challenge. And we have a philosophy whereby anything we do, we want that money to circulate within the community as long as possible. So, in fact, our initiative that Helen described, which when the young women got the certificates, is an initiative in a partnership with the University of Cambridge in Leadership and Enterprise. So the Judge Business School and Cambridge Assessment have written the course, and it's funded by Goldman Sachs. It'll continue over 3 years. So that's a tripartite thing. And we actually ran it intentionally at a rural school. And we have left behind in that rural school electricity, sanitation, much improved dormitory facilities. Rather than, you know, spending our money in bringing people out to the urban centres and hotels, we invested the money in building the infrastructure, and that is part of our philosophy to do that. So, yes, as you say, it's a continuing challenge, the infrastructure, but we're working as far, you know, as we can to invest. Invest our money back into the communities.
I'd like to make a comment and ask a question. The comment is that it's quite interesting to me that Cambridge University, which only recently started educating women, even in England, let alone people of colour, has chosen CAMFED in Africa. And I think it's a wonderful way of redressing the colonial legacy and the misogynism and all kinds of things that Cambridge might realise it's been guilty of over the years. So I applaud Cambridge for choosing CAMFED. In communities where I know women who have become economically independent of men or who have developed and become educated beyond men, they faced a lot of hostility from men. And I'm wondering how the women whom you have educated so wonderfully are treated by the men in their communities, and whether it makes for conflict within families.
Just to make the comment, I think it's worked out that it's only just over 6% of the 800 years that women have actually been equal with men at the University of Cambridge. So, as you say, but you know, when change happens, starts happening, it happens fast, and we now, you know, have, of course, Alison Richard, an extraordinary woman leader. Leading Cambridge University. So that's tremendous. Still, you know, a long way to go on many, many fronts. And I think it is a tribute to Cambridge, indeed, that they have chosen, you know, the poorest group in the world today to make this investment and to encourage and, you know, to use their power of their voice to give them attention. And certainly Alison Richard herself has been personally so supportive. Do you want to answer it?
Yeah, I think there's a couple of angles that I would take in terms of working with men. I think one is that CAMFED, from the very beginning and when we start working in the community, does engage men directly, because I think that, you know, we certainly recognize that nothing's going to change with women if men aren't part of that. And so, as you saw, there's tremendous male advocates like Benjamin Chama, the teacher that you saw in the school, who are working on behalf of girls and women. And I think as well, because CAMFED takes a long-term approach, and we start supporting girls at the primary school level through secondary education, and then once they leave school, continue to invest in their leadership, in their entrepreneurship, in their higher education, it's often something that the whole community can celebrate and can be proud of. And so that, you know, if the men have been a part of that, so CAMFED pulls together kind of every group of stakeholders to make decisions about how money is used, to make decisions about what girls are selected for support. And because they're a part of that process, they can also celebrate in the success. And they can see as well the tremendous returns that girls' education is actually making, because they can see women in there communities who are economically active. You know, money's coming into their own families. You know, women are supporting their parents, supporting their grandparents. So I think that that's one kind of long-term positive change that we've seen, especially in areas where we've worked for a long time. I think another thing is that we see that CAMA members, the alumni, do get married later, and they're choosing their own partners. And that's something that, you know, that girls' education, it's another kind of proven benefit, is that women marry later, they have fewer and healthier children, and they've got more equal relationships. I think in terms of, you know, where there are some conflicts, I think obviously that's certainly the case. And so we try to build a support system around women where they can have different people to draw on to kind of help manage those conflicts, and particularly people who have been through those same things. So, for example, we have a microfinance and business training program that supports young women to start their own businesses. And as part of that, they're mentored by other young women in their communities and by other community members who include men about how to manage their funds, about challenges that they might face, and if they bring home money and their, you know, their father or their husband wants to co-opt those profits. And so they've got people that they can lean on as well. But I think that, I don't know if you want to talk about kind of how some of the husbands responded to the women in the group, but I know that there was, you know, it was by and large really supportive because they could see, you know, it was bringing benefits into their families, bringing benefits into their community. So, for example, you saw Agnes's husband, you know, now she's started a small business and she's bringing benefits as well. So I think her husband's by and large been supportive.
Well, it was just a funny anecdote that I can tell you that it is about a support network, and I think that you could see from the group of women filmmakers that actually they became that support network for each other. And CAMFED wanted to empower the women not only in terms of giving them these new skills, but also to give them some economic independence. So actually they were given a stipend on a daily basis. And one of the women actually, who is I think maybe the third wife, said that her husband kept taking the money from her. So the whole group got together and they decided that she had to hide the money somewhere, somehow, and that they supported each other in kind of trying to change sort of what is expected of women, just to hand over their money. And I think that, you know, the Senfu and filmmakers continue to be that support network for one another, as the camera alumni also do. So I think it is creating these kind of, you know, it's strength in numbers, really. And that's what I really saw from the Senfu women filmmakers, how they supported one another and how they were really able to help Penelope through her experiences, because obviously there was a huge amount of nervousness in terms of how the screenings would go in the community. And what you saw from the first screening that they had at the high school, they actually all got up unprompted by their trainers, who just literally sat on the sidelines, and they did that out of respect for Penelope, because they wanted to show their absolute support for her. And I think that in doing that the first time, and they've done that ever since in each of their screenings, what happens therefore is that actually they can see that strength. And they can really see that these women are, you know, they're talking confidently, they're talking about the issues, and they're really taken seriously. So it's really about building that support, I think, and I think that's what we found with working with CAMFED, that they do so very well.
Hello, I'm sorry to cut this form of conversation short, but we have food and drink just outside here, so I'm hoping we can continue the conversation out there. But once again, thank you, and Helen, all this work.
Thank you.
Other events going on where people are hosting screenings, and we have screening packs. And if you have a group, or indeed your friends and family that would like to see the film and build, you know, this advocacy around these issues, then please, we would love you to do that. And our website has all the details, and I think you have sheets to take away. But you know, we really have a momentum now. We need to build on that.
Will you join me in thanking everyone and the girls?